I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, giving you a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. I'm disagreeable. I'm a little ornery for my freedom. This is not political talking point show, so get ready for something a little different. I have got today just a fantastic illustration of how politicians, how the media, how talking heads manipulate you. This is something I've been wanting to get into a segment for a couple of weeks now, and it is based around this idea that Donald Trump said, called white supremacists very fine people. That is, I've heard it referred to as journalistic malpractice, which is just a great way to illustrate it. But it leads me to something else, too, as I am. I've got one example on the left, which is this idea of very fine people. And then I've got one huge example of exactly the same thing being done on the right. And this is just the reason that I do these things is because, well, I got to tell you, I'm a disruptor. I'm trying to shake faith in just about every institution of power in this country because they're not serving us anymore. But I want everybody to see, this is a show about bringing people together. I want everybody to see how you're all being screwed and manipulated and tricked. And so you can keep on fighting with each other about the election or the debate or whatever little talking point they put in front of you. You can take to Twitter and take to Facebook and do your memes and all that stuff. The memes are fantastic this year. I appreciate all the sense of humor out there. But the bottom line is we are all being used and abused in this system. And this just when I do this segment, it's going to be later. It may even be in the next hour. When I put these things next to each other, it is just one of the most beautiful, concise illustrations of exactly how bad these political parties and our mainstream media and all of the talking heads are at just flat out lying to you to manipulate you. So stick around for that. We are going to have some power ups and downs today. If you are listening to WYAB, we're having some work done on one of our towers. Luckily, we are such a media powerhouse. We have redundancies, and so you can get full shows here today of this show or other shows if they're still working on the towers later at 9:30 a.m. That's 9:30 a.m. or 107.1 FM. You can get WYAB programming. So if the signal goes down a little bit on 103.9, you can tune into one of those. For this show in particular, if you can't stick around for my fantastic, concise illustration of how the media and our politicians manipulate us, you can always get my podcast, which is at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts as well. So anyway, all right, to get into the show today, I've got my quotes of the day. I have one here. Rule number one of a truly free people, don't fall in love with a expletive politician. Rule number one of a truly free people, don't fall in love with an expletive politician. That's a Mike Madison quote. This is one I like a lot. Doug Casey. Taxes aren't the price we pay for civilized society. They're a sign of the fact that society is becoming uncivilized. A civilized society is based on voluntarism. Taxes are all about coercion. And then H.L. Mencken said the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. That's H.L. Mencken. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed. And that's so true. H.L. Mencken, everyone, just look up interesting quotes. The guy's got a ton of them. And speaking of keeping the populace alarmed, here locally, Tate Reeves yesterday released us from the statewide mask mandate. Now, he warned us. He will slap that thing right back on if he does. You know, if we aren't behaving ourselves and we see any difference in the numbers, he'll slap it right back on. Governor Tate Reeves on Wednesday lifted the statewide mask mandate that was in place since early August, though face coverings will still be required for schools and certain businesses. Quote, I love this. Quote, again, are you hearing me? This is a quote from Tate Reeves. Quote, we should not use the heavy hand of government more than it is justified, unquote, Reeves said at a news conference. Quote, we have to tailor actions to the current threat and to make sure they do not go beyond what is reasonable. I was reading this yesterday in the Clarion Ledger here in Jackson, Mississippi, and he said, then he goes on to use the heavy hand of government because he thinks Mississippians are too stupid to take their own personal precautions. The new Safe Recovery Executive Order. Oh, they love us so much. I just want to keep us safe. The new Safe Recovery Executive Order, which expires November 11th, eases some social distancing restrictions, allowing up to 50% of capacity attendance at school events, such as football games, and 50% inside movie theaters. It also provides new limits for social gatherings where distancing isn't possible to no more than 20 inside and 100 outside. More, because look, you can have 19 other people at your house, okay? But if you have 20 and you tip that over into 21 people, 22 people, that unexpected weird cousin brings a plus one that you did not authorize, well, we're all going to die. So 20 in home. And, of course, it was followed with this in the story. But, okay, so we're reducing some restrictions, you know, from our authoritarian governor. Now there's a but in the story. Who do you think is going to be quoted now? But State Health Officer Dr. Thomas Dobbs said Wednesday he remained worried about several counties that have recently faced rising case counts. Quote, we are still vulnerable for a rebound. We are still vulnerable for another surge, he told reporters. Jones, Lamar, and Lee counties have all seen a 5% increase in cases over the past week, he said. And he says, I watched the news conference yesterday. Thomas Dobbs still hanging in there with the mask at the press conference, still socially distanced. He is not giving up this ghost. I tell you what, he is. With Thomas Dobbs, I'd be kind of curious. I don't know where the guy lives. And again, he may be a perfectly nice guy. I might enjoy having dinner with him. But as far as somebody enacting policies, ruling over us all, I have nothing for him. But I do wonder if he wears a helmet when he goes out for a walk. I would imagine for sure he's got to have handrails in his showers. I mean, there's got to be. This guy is scared of risk. There's no doubt about it. Tate and Dobbs both said yesterday during this press conference that masks must be working because cases are falling. Now, here's the interesting thing, the really crazy thing, and I don't understand everything about the universe. I got a couple of scientific things to throw at you here that are going to come from me as a layperson. Here's the weird thing about mask wearing in Mississippi. Us wearing masks in Mississippi is also lowering the case rates and deaths in Sweden that doesn't have a mask mandate. Isn't that weird? I'm not sure how that works. There's a whole field of quantum physics that's very odd and mysterious, but Sweden wears no masks, and their case count and death count and hospitalization count has gone through the floor. NBC actually did a story this morning about Sweden. I was pretty stunned. I didn't catch the whole thing, but they did some footage. They showed people on the subway, no mask. They showed restaurants where people were. Now, you're not going to believe this. I saw people in Sweden smiling and joking and laughing, mask-free. Did you know a world like that still existed? People everywhere, up and down the streets, no mask. Kids at the schools, no mask. And then they went to the hospital ICU in Sweden. And again, I can't believe NBC did this. They went to the hospital ICU where the doctor opened up the doors to the ICU and showed that it was, anyone? Empty. Absolutely empty. Now, NBC did go to a lot of these, and Sweden has almost no cases or no hospitalizations and recording almost no deaths. Their numbers continue to go down. for now. There were a couple times where they said, yet. They haven't had a surge yet. They want to keep that boogeyman out there. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do have a theory. Because you look at Sweden that has had no mask mandate. The only thing Sweden did is they banned some super large events. Outside of that, they pretty much said, hey, here's the deal. Go about your business. And their chart is one of the best in the world, save their first couple of months where it ravaged some of their nursing homes. So I have a theory. And again, I'm not a scientist. I haven't vetted this. This is not peer-reviewed, but it seems to make perfect sense to me. I think the masks make the virus mad. What if there is like a... like the mom and dad virus sit down with the young child virus as they're ready to set it loose in the world, and they say, son or daughter, I'm not sure, do viruses have sexes? Maybe it's a Zim, Zay, Zim, Zoo, whoever, whatever it is. But they sit the child virus down and they say, look, these humans are going to put obstacles in your way. But we're a virus and we survive. You will get past that virus. You know, kind of the inspirational talk like we have with our kids. Look, life isn't always fair, but you persevere. And when time gets tough, you work extra hard to get through that. Maybe that's this talk that mom virus and dad virus have with the little virus. That's actually not true. What really happens is a child virus comes into their parents and says, mom, dad, they're all wearing masks. I'll never make it. And the mom and dad virus look at each other and just smile, and they laugh and they go, oh son, those masks don't work. That is what we call human virtue signaling. They want to seem like they're, and I don't know how coronavirus would raise their hands to make the quotes sign, you know, like we do, like I do here in the studio where I air quotes everything. They said, humans just want to act like they're, air quotes, doing something. And the mom and dad virus just laugh and laugh. They say, don't worry, son, those masks don't work. You will be just fine. And this child virus heads out into the world and infects who it wants to infect. Now, again, that's not scientific, but from all of the evidence that we are acquiring, the places with the most mask use, California and New York, have the worst cases and the worst deaths in the country. So something's happening. Either the masks are making the virus mad, or the masks don't work. It's one of the two. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I run a pretty controversial show here, I'll say, because I'm outside of the mainstream is almost an understatement. I'm borderline radical, particularly for conservative talk radio, because I don't do talking points radio. I don't fall in love with politicians or parties anymore. I did. I don't anymore. I was betrayed. I was cheated on by a bunch of big government Republicans. I saw the error of my ways. A lot of people will disagree with a lot of things I say. I do not always show Trump love. As a matter of fact, I criticize him pretty relentlessly on the show because I think he makes some big mistakes. And if he does something that I appreciate, I will compliment that. I got to tell you, I think my word's worth something at this point. I think I've built some body of credibility in some of the calls that I have made on this show. I told you when John Bolton was named as national security advisor, that was a bad choice. I was rebuffed by Trump supporters who said, you don't understand. John Bolton's a genius move. It will be like Trump's pit bull that he will threaten to unleash on the world unless they do exactly what we want. Now, for me, That doesn't seem to be the place of America to boss around a bunch of other sovereign countries. But I was assured that it was a calculated, keep your enemies closer. Oh, there was all kinds of strategy to it. Well, it turned out John Bolton was just a warmonger neocon punk. And he betrayed Donald Trump the minute he left office, was fired, whatever happened. I've said similar things to you about the guy at HHS who's an Eli Lilly executive. I've said the same thing to you about your Defense Department guy that's a Raytheon executive. Before that, we had a Boeing executive. But I've also pointed out many times that Gina Haspel, who has been put in the head of the CIA, is an acolyte of John Brennan. This was Donald Trump's pick to head the CIA. And I've been told, first woman CIA chief, the CIA, Trump's putting his people in. Well, it turns out, and I'm not going to play, I'll probably play this clip tomorrow. Tucker Carlson did a story on it last night. The Federalist has said that Gina Haspel, the CIA director, who I have opposed since the day she was mentioned, has been the one blocking the declassification of a bunch of Russiagate files. That she was involved in it as the main liaison between Langley and London while all this dossier stuff was going on. Huh! Isn't that strange? I'm so surprised. I've also warned you about Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, as being a deep state Washington slithering creature, and I was rebuffed on that. Now we're finding out the FBI has decided that white supremacists are the biggest challenge to U.S. law enforcement right now while the streets burn at the hands of Antifa and BLM. And so people are realizing, oh, Christopher Wray, not such a great guy. If I could only get you to see Mike Pompeo for what he really is, my work here will be done. But that will certainly come with due time. Trump constantly praising Mike Pompeo, but he's a warmonger. In the Super V recovery report, we had 837,000 Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week. That is better than the weeks before, but still four times regular jobless claims prior to the pandemic. So we continue to suffer the consequences of the Anthony Fauci, Thomas Dobbs operation that they've been running on this country when it comes to COVID. Again, do you know who is not seeing record jobless claims each and every week? That would be Sweden. We don't want to talk about that. I'm still a little stunned that NBC did a story about Sweden this morning. Who would have thought that Sweden would have more cojones than the United States when it comes to business? That Sweden would be a freer country than the United States. I've had a little bit more time to reflect and look back and see some clips and stuff of the debates, and I got to tell you, Donald Trump missed some huge opportunities with that. Now, that's Monday morning quarterback to somebody in a debate that's nationally televised. That's a little worthless. I can't say that if I was on the stage. You know, anybody, if you've ever done any, I do this show and leave every day and go, oh, I know what I should have said. Or I can take a caller and listen to the call later and say, ah, how did I miss that? So I don't really fault Donald Trump. It's really very aggravating to see him not be able to take down Joe Biden, of all people, in a debate. But I did find some humor. I did find some humor that came out of Tuesday's debate. Oh, my gosh. Ohio's Case Western Reserve University, the site of last night's presidential debate, has set up a dedicated support spaces for students who have been triggered by the tense exchange. The university says, quote, students can discuss the impact of recent national events, including the presidential debate and upcoming election. There are 8, quote, presidential debate support spaces available for students to attend, according to the university, which asks that everybody use, quote, respectful dialogue. The spaces will remain active from Monday through next Friday. They need about 2 weeks to process the triggering from the debate on Tuesday. They need 2 weeks. The spaces will be active from Monday through next Friday for virtual counseling sessions. The university announced that the support space is not a substitute for psychotherapy and does not constitute mental health treatment. Well, I guess that's a good thing, because these people definitely need some mental health treatment. So they've people so triggered by a televised debate that they need counseling for the next 2 weeks. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Ray, this is Willie.
Hey, Willie.
I got one question to ask you. I didn't get a chance to see the debate and all that, but all I heard yesterday was about Wallace being on the side of Joe Biden.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, he was covering for him. Did you watch the debate?
Oh yes, I did. I kind of broke my rule of never watching politicians say anything, and I did tune in. It was entertaining, aggravating, frustrating. But yeah, I watched it, and it is true. Chris Wallace has no love lost for Donald Trump. Donald Trump's been making fun of him on Twitter for a year. That probably didn't help anything. But yes, Chris Wallace was certainly not the independent moderator.
You know, it's so bad, you know, that you can't even get decent news. I've gotten to a point now where I don't even want to watch any news, but I try to watch a little local news. But you know, when you watch this from MSNBC and Fox and all that, you just get one side of everything.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
I was thinking back to, I'm an older guy, and I'm thinking back to, we used to get Roger Mudd and all that. You know, they used to tell us the facts.
Well, I'll tell you, Willie, you know, I have a theory, and the theory is that there is not a commercially viable way to present independent news. Now, I try to do it here to some degree, but I have a bias. I mean, I'm a libertarian guy. I want a small, limited government. I'm against big government programs. So I have a bias here. But I don't believe there is a market for independent news. You know what I mean? People
right,
want to tune in. If you love Trump, you want to tune in to a station that constantly tells you how great Donald Trump is. You never want to hear them. I mean, the way people had lost their mind when somebody like a Donna Brazile, and I can't stand Donna Brazile, but when Donna Brazile comes on to Fox News, even though the vast majority of people at Fox News are all conservatives, as soon as they announce another liberal person hired at Fox News, everybody says, oh, Fox News is gone. Same thing on the mainstream networks. They tilt left. And so people who tilt left go to MSNBC, for instance. People want to live in a bubble. They want news presented to them in a way that makes them feel very smart. They don't want the facts.
I understand. You know, I often talk to one of my closest relatives, and it just seemed like to me it just seemed like it to a point where people get very upset when you don't agree with them.
Absolutely.
You know, you get upset. I mean, like fighting anger.
Yes, yes. You know? We've lost our mind. Yeah. We are witnessing a national mental breakdown. I mean, across the board. Look at everything, Willie. Look at what we're doing. Look at the hysteria around COVID. Now, I don't want COVID. I wouldn't want anybody to get COVID. It seems a little weird. It can hurt certain people. It doesn't seem like it would. A lot of very obvious people don't want to get this, the elderly and the sick. But you look at the hysteria, what we have put up with. We have allowed people to be healthy people to be quarantined in their homes. We've allowed the police to arrest people for not wearing a mask at a church service. Look at the riots in the streets and some idea of racial justice. The idea is if you burn down a local bakery, that somehow will help your cause for George Floyd. If you look at presidential politics, we've got people, you know, in love or in abject hatred of this person. We are losing our mind. I could really go on and on. I had this conversation with a friend of mine last night. We have lost our mind. We're having a mental breakdown. I don't know what the answer to it is.
Yeah, well, I understand. Mike, you have a very good weekend, okay? Hey,
thanks, Willie. I appreciate the call.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. When I look out at the landscape, and again, I have a different perspective than vast majority of people. Because most people have got red or blue lenses on, and they view the world through that. And like what Willie's talking about, you know, they go to their media sources that reinforce them. They go to their social media groups that reinforce them. They go to their Twitter groups that reinforce them. They go to all of these things. Everybody lives in a bubble. They can't see. They've got no perspective on anything. I think I've got at least better perspective of everybody because I can look at something and say whether it's good or bad because I'm not carrying water for anybody. That's the closest thing to independent coverage of the news you're probably going to get. See, a lot of people you know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity probably weren't big Trump supporters to start. And there are a lot of people who kind of opposed Trump. They loved the Romney kind of guys. They liked the Lindsey Grahams who was, you know what I mean? They've been selling you a lot of these establishment Republicans for decades. And then all of a sudden Trump comes on the scene and they just jump on board with it. They're riding Trump's coattails because Trump got popular because he gave people an alternative. But they're scared to, they've built this whole base. Sean Hannity's got his whole base. You think he would feel free to come out and criticize Donald Trump? Absolutely not. Do you know what would happen to a bunch of his viewers? They go, what happened to Sean Hannity? He's turned into some kind of a libtard. How dare he? You know, nobody wants to hear a criticism of their side. Same with the left. So everybody lives in their little bubbles, and we refuse to see the forest for the trees. And I'm going to show you today. It's going to be next hour. You can tell right now the way time is flowing, and I'm looking at my notes here. It's going to be next hour. But I'm going to show you how easily the people are manipulated and how guilty the media, politicians, and talking heads are at purposefully manipulating you into believing things. A big example that I use a lot in foreign policy, there are a lot of Republicans out there that still say these words. We gave Iran... excuse me. Let me rephrase. This is what conservatives and Republicans are still saying, even though the facts are completely contrary. Obama gave Iran $150 billion. That's just flat out wrong. That implies that Obama somehow reached into the Treasury or into taxpayers' pockets and sent over $150 billion to Iran. Now, there's a million reasons to criticize Barack Obama, and had I been on the air during the Obama presidency, you would have heard him here every single day. I'm not an Obama fan, not a Democrat fan. I'm not a fan of any politician, really, that seeks to rule my lives. They better be pretty darn good at leaving me alone if they want to get praise on this show. But Obama didn't give them $150 billion. They unfroze assets that had been frozen for a long period of time due to sanctions. That's different. But people want to keep hanging on to that because they want to support Donald Trump's saber-rattling with Iran. And so you keep throwing out this same thing over and over and over again. But the two examples I've got today, and it starts with the media's misrepresentation of Donald Trump saying very fine people about white supremacists. They use this over and over again and have now for 3.5 years to try to convince people, to manipulate people into believing, to manipulate people, particularly on the left, into believing that Donald Trump has somehow condoned white supremacy or has praised some white supremacy. Couldn't be. So we're going to play the entire clip of what Donald Trump said, which is never done and never mentioned in the media. But then I'm going to show you an example from the right, too. And it's a biggie. So stick around. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Power is going to be going down a little bit today. They're doing some work on our towers today. If you start to lose signal, you can pick up WYAB on 9:30 a.m. or 107.1 FM. We are simulcast at those places for this particular show. You can also get the podcast at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. It's also on the TuneIn app where you can get WYAB. You can hear it through your phone if you're out of signal. somewhere. And you can always listen to us online, too, at 103 at WYAB.com. So plenty of ways to get around. A little maintenance, a little upgrade to the WYAB tower today. I guess I'll go ahead and get into this. People are being played. And I just feel the need to say something to y'all, both right and left. I tell you, I'm building bridges here, because if everybody ever realized how badly you're being screwed, you would know. You're being manipulated by Donald Trump. You're being manipulated by Joe Biden. You're being manipulated by just about every politician that opens their mouth. I'm going to show you a couple of examples of it. Well, the first one, the reason I started thinking about this again was because they trotted out this very fine people thing on Donald Trump again. They keep saying Donald Trump says very fine people about white supremacists, you know, this idea of dog whistles and all that stuff. A little bit more about that next hour. But this is actually the full statement of what Donald Trump said. And the media keeps saying when they phrase it that he called white supremacists very fine people. That is not what happened. This is what happened.
And you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. Excuse me. I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
So there you go. He was talking about the people that he wasn't talking about the white supremacists. He wasn't talking about the alt-right or whatever the groups they're trying to smear on these things. He was saying, look, I just think Donald Trump is one of the worst communicators ever. I think he gets in his own way by trying to be so cocksure of himself that he won't just talk simply and calmly about things. But he was talking about, it's wildly disingenuous, and they have used this now for 3.5 years. Now, I don't have to tell anybody that the media constantly will repeat lies over and over again. But what I do want to show is if anybody from the left is looking, at least you should say, okay, there's a million reasons that I don't like Donald Trump. You can say this. I might not like Donald Trump for a million reasons, but at least they're going to be honest reasons. I'm not going to have to cling to lies about why I do not like Donald Trump. He didn't call white supremacists very fine people. He said there were people out there protesting, taking statues down. He said there were fine people on both sides. It's totally different from the way the media portrays it. Now, I'm going to show you another glaring example of that. Do you remember Barack Obama's, "You didn't build that"? I mean, doesn't it, when you listen to them talk about Donald Trump and very fine people, don't you hate how they keep taking his comments out of context? Isn't that a dirty Democrat and mainstream media trick? I mean, we're on to it, right? He didn't call white supremacists fine people, but they keep saying that over and over. And I don't know, people on the left, are you tired of being played, manipulated yet? Like I say, if you want to disagree with Donald Trump on other things, at least make them honest things. That would be nice. Because it is. It's taking comments out of context. It's a dirty Democrat and mainstream media trick. The problem is it's not reserved for just one side. You remember you didn't build that. Here is Mitt Romney. He's not so popular now, but, you know, Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the conservative media tried to tell you what darlings they were and how it was the most important election of our lifetime that Mitt Romney be elected in 2012. Now you find out what kind of a creep they were trying to force on you. Anyway, I supported Ron Paul again in 2012 when he was running. Anyway, here is Mitt Romney talking about the "you didn't build that."
You can look at what he said. And what he said was this. He said, and I quote, and he's speaking, by the way, of businesses like this one. Small businesses, big businesses, middle-sized businesses, mining businesses, manufacturing, service businesses of all kinds. He said this: if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Oh. And conservative pundits today are still using that. Now, look, there's a million reasons to not like Barack Obama if you're conservative, if you're like me and you like limited small government. I mean, the guy took over the entire healthcare system. But let's listen to what Obama actually said. Does it matter to anybody? Or do you only want to see the hypocrisy and you only want to see the lying and the manipulation when it's on the left? That's what most people want. Back to Willie's point. Nobody wants the facts. Nobody wants objective, independent. They want to be told they were right. And that still today, you will have conservatives bring up the Barack Obama said you didn't build that, talking about, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners. Let's play the actual clip of what Barack Obama actually said. And again, I'm no Barack Obama fan. I am a fan of the truth and being honest.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Now, obviously, do I need to play it again? Is there any chance that this tiny little rebel show out here can break through and crush a talking point of the Republicans for the last 8 years? He's obviously talking about it. And again, I don't like Barack Obama. But I'm also not a disingenuous, lying sack of crap. And Barack Obama was talking about building infrastructure. Let's listen to it again and tell me if it sounds like he's saying that someone didn't actually, an entrepreneur or business owner didn't build their own business.
Successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
So there we go. Yet Mitt Romney, how did he say it? It's the exact same thing. It's just flipped. It's just the Republican thing of the Democrats who right now keep saying this ridiculous thing. They're trying to lay around Trump's neck of very fine people. It is taken out of context. It is picked out of a much longer soundbite where he explains who he's talking about with very fine people. They take out just that little part where he says very fine people on both sides, and they lay that around his neck as if he's praising white supremacists. It's disingenuous. It's dishonest. It's political and journalistic malpractice. And it happens on both sides. And again, it's like Obama gave the Iranians $150 billion. I still hear that every time Iran is mentioned. I see it in comment sections. I'm not going to reach everybody. But I hope that the people who listen to this show, and if you listen to it regularly, you're probably already there, you can at least be honest. If you want to, I'll spend the next hour criticizing every single thing I can think of about Barack Obama. I wouldn't have enough time in the next hour to do it. Barack Obama was a con man. He was a bankster cutout stooge. He was a warmonger who made a joke out of the Nobel Peace Prize. He took over health care with a socialist system that will be with us probably for the rest of this country's history until we have a collapse and finally realize we can't pay for it. I could spend a lot of time talking about what a disaster Barack Obama was and a long list of disasters. But I'll be honest about it. I won't have to make stuff up. I don't make stuff up about Donald Trump. I don't make stuff up about Barack Obama. I don't make stuff up about any of the presidents or any of the stories that I cover here. I didn't make it up about Gina Haspel. I didn't have a bee in my bonnet about Gina Haspel, who's the CIA director. I didn't make it up that she was an acolyte of John Brennan. She was an acolyte of John Brennan. And now we're finding out that she's the one that's stopping the release of to declassify stuff from the Russiagate stuff. The lady that Donald Trump appointed to CIA. I told you this the day she was announced. I'm sure I was ignored. People changed the channel. Oh, he's criticizing another one of Donald Trump's picks. He must have TDS. He's got Trump derangement syndrome. No, I look at facts like a heat-seeking missile. A lot of people can't handle that because it's uncomfortable to some people. But those examples of very fine people and you didn't build that just show. And I'm sure those were just two really, the very fine people has just been bugging me for years now because I knew the truth of Donald Trump's entire statement. I knew it was disingenuous to use it. But I always use it as a little bit of a teachable moment to don't act like it's just the other side that does it. Don't act like, oh, the left is being manipulated by a bunch of crooks and criminals, but we're good over here on the right. I hate to tell you. Mitt Romney was just as disingenuous and dishonest as the mainstream media is right now trying to lay white supremacy around Donald Trump's neck.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, only a couple minutes left in this hour. We have produced power at the main tower. We got a tower power problem. This is not a drill, so if you want to, your signal's going a little low on WYAB, you can switch to 930 AM or 107.1 FM for WYAB today while we upgrade lighting on our tower. I'm hoping they're putting in, you know, some Vegas-style lights on there. It's like something kind of interesting. I shouldn't even joke about that. The homeowners associations within 10 miles of a tower will freak out. Oh, we're a strange, strange species these days. I'm not sure if we survive, but, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn, I guess. More economic numbers are rolling in. Sounds like I'm about to go down a dark path, doesn't it? Eh, well, I kind of am, because it's the reality of the situation. And just, you know, Americans, I don't know. Didn't we used to have, like, wasn't it admirable? People would say, shoot it to me straight. And back again to Willie's phone call earlier. Don't people just want the facts, or do they really want everything, you know, candy-coated for them in their particular flavor? We can't handle the truth anymore. I mean, the left has to make up their own reality. In the left, there are no biological sexes by now because for some reason, you know, a handful of people were offended by that idea, so they decided to spare them the indignity of an offense and alter the entire history of mankind by declaring there are no sexes. I mean, it is easy to see on the left, but I see it on the right, too. It's people cannot handle it. No, Mike, Donald Trump's creating the greatest economic recovery. He did it once. He's going to do it again. You know, if you look at a chart of employment or any of the other charts, if you look at it without the years on it between, you know, the bottom in 2009 and the beginning of 2020 before COVID hit, you can't tell where Donald Trump came into office and where Barack Obama left by the trajectory of the chart. I'm sorry, that's inconvenient. I know I'm not candy coating that for people, but it's the truth. The Federal Reserve has been the one creating all the jobs for the last 12 years anyway by printing up endless amounts of phony money. But I'm supposed to sit here, I guess, and just tell you that, oh, Donald Trump did it once. The economy was just booming. It wasn't. It was not booming. Unemployment levels, the manipulated statistics of unemployment were way down, yes, but it was not the way it's being sold. U.S. manufacturing surveys suggest the outlook has darkened. That's the headline right now. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you
love me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. We are having some tower maintenance done today. If the signal's getting a little light for you today, and you're not hearing the station like you need to, you can tune in to our, they call them a sister stations. That feels a little sexist to me. I don't know. We should work on another name for that. Our partner stations. You can go to 930 AM or 107.1 FM, 930 AM or 107.1 FM if you want to get the show in its full glory. I'm not sure how long they're going to be working on the tower, but the price of progress we have. You can also get this show podcast if you want to listen to it later on. If you missed something, I podcast at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. Also on Apple Podcast, just search for The Mike Madison Show. It's on TuneIn app, and I'm not sure where else it is. Occasionally, people pick me up somewhere that I was not even aware it was out there. So that exists as well. So we apologize for that. But as I say, it's the price of progress. I tell you what, let's go ahead right now. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I just wanted to finish my thought and see what you thought about it. You know, when I said he ought to, President Trump ought to fire all his advisors.
Everyone,
this is what I think. I think that they got snookered by Biden because he is a smart fellow. He may be senile, but he's pretty slick. And I think he stayed hidden for weeks. And this was all a planned thing that he was going to come in and be all, normal and everything. And so when Trump, they told Trump that when he first came in, if he would jump on him and get on him, that he would just get so bewildered, that Biden would get so bewildered that would be over with.
Right.
So, what do you think about that theory?
I think that's exactly right. But I think what they stopped short of, they should have said, if it's not working after about 10 or 15 minutes, back off and try something different. Because he just kept trying to pound and pound, and it just didn't work.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing was, you know, I've gone back and listened to clips from the debate. There were so many missed opportunities and so many opportunities. I heard somebody describe it really well. It's like in a boxing match. When you're just pounding someone, and you can see their knees are going weak, you back up. Yeah. And you let him fall. Yeah. Donald Trump was keeping him up with uppercuts. I mean, you know, he wouldn't let Biden show his real weakness because he kept interrupting him right when he was about to fail.
Well, do these when they get into these debates, do they have these earphones so that somebody could coach him or something during the debate, or is that against the rules?
Well, that's the big controversy right now. It's supposed to be against the rules. The Trump campaign said they wanted an ear check. I don't know the truth of this. There are photos out there surfacing that are floating around that purport to show Joe Biden had a wire on him somewhere. I don't know if it was a fold in his shirt. I don't know if Joe Biden was being fed anything or not. I don't think he was impressive enough to think that he got fed a whole lot. I mean, basically, the guy just had to stand still for 90 minutes and, you know, not faint and not gaff, and he pretty much did what he needed to do.
Well, I don't think he was did all that well in the whole debate, but I think right at first, when the president jumped on him with all 4 feet, and it didn't work. I think somebody sort of signaled him to change or something.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I absolutely agree basically with everything you just said. Number one, I think she's right about that. Now, he should have changed tax. There were so many opportunities. You know, going back and listening to some of Joe Biden's answers, man, they are softballs across the plate for Donald Trump. But, you know, when you're constantly attacking like that, too, you're not listening. And you have to listen to be able to then come back and knock one out of the park. But if you're constantly trying to hammer, you're missing those opportunities. I think Trump missed a ton of opportunities. The other thing about it, too, when I kind of went back and looked at it, and I'm not sure, I didn't go back and watch the whole thing again. I mean, I'm not that dedicated to the show, I'll just tell you right now. Trump came out onto the stage and he smiled. You know, they didn't shake hands, which I just thought was nutso stuff. Two men vying to be the leaders of the most powerful country the planet Earth has ever seen, but they're scared that, even though they're both tested all the time, they're scared of a virus, so they're not going to shake hands. Just, it really was one of the first things I just went, oh, God, are we really doing this? Anyway, he smiled when he came out. I don't think Donald Trump smiled again. And the reason that came to my attention is that yesterday he put out or I think he said somewhere, it was really fun, or had a great time. You know, of course, both candidates are going out declaring victory. I actually have a quote. This is a quote from, you know, I have tried to go back and figure out what went through my mind back when I was really entranced by the Republican Party, where I just really believed everything they said and I was a gung-ho Republican. I was in my 20s. I'm trying to go back in there so that I can can relate better to the vast majority of Americans right now that are in this hyper-politicized world. Because regardless of whether or not you think Trump won or lost, I haven't heard a whole lot of people saying, oh, that was just a great – well, that's not true. I've heard a lot of people say he just slammed it. Sean Hannity immediately came on the air and said, he steamrolled Joe Biden. Here is what the Trump campaign manager, Bill Steffian, said about the debate. Quote, President Trump just turned in the greatest debate performance in presidential history, displaying a command of the facts and control of the conversation. I mean, come on now. I understand both parties have to go out and declare victory, and you know, but come on. It is the insults to my intelligence that come from both of the political parties, I think, that drives me further and further away from them on a daily basis. I'm not an idiot. Quit treating me like I'm an idiot. And that's what both of the major political parties do. I'm going to play you a clip when I come back of how a debate should go. Now, I think one of the things, the other point that the caller just made is that Donald Trump should fire every single one of his advisors. I think that should have been done 3 years ago, if not 3 years ago, 2 years ago, if not 2 years ago, 1 year ago, if not 1 year ago, today. Jared Kushner, the lifelong Democrat. Have you ever seen pictures of like social gathering pictures? You know, Jared Kushner is in the glitterati of New York. Have you ever seen pictures of him? Who he's hobnobbing with? Oh, there'd be the occasional picture with Rudy Giuliani along with Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and Chuck Schumer. I mean, Jared Kushner, I believe I'm correct on this. Jared Kushner and Ivanka are two of the biggest advisors to Donald Trump. They just registered as Republicans so they could vote for him in the primaries this time around. That was the story that I read anyway. I did not independently verify that, but I do know they've been lifelong Democrats. Jared Kushner is a lifelong Democrat. He's one of Donald Trump's greatest advisors. He's got Goldman Sachs advising him on the economy. He's got a Goldman Sachs guy in as his Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. I mean, across the board, and I'm not sure exactly what, I think Donald Trump's been duped, to be honest with you. I think his instincts are better than that, but a lot of people told him these are very, Mr. President, these are very powerful people. You want a very powerful man like Steven Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs. You want him running your Treasury Department. He understands the economy. Oh, he's powerful? Okay, well, I'll put him in there. I think Donald Trump's easy to manipulate based on his ego. Mike Pompeo, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Donald Trump, who campaigned on getting us out of the Middle East, hires one of the biggest warmongers we've ever seen to run the Department of State coming out of the CIA. Yeah, Donald Trump's advisors have got to go. And that goes to the debate, too. Now, I might have to cut advisors on this debate prep a little bit of slack, because don't you kind of get the feeling that maybe there are a lot of people in the White House going, hey, you want to practice? You want to get prepped for this debate? And I can hear Donald Trump going, I don't need it. I'm going against Joe Biden, for goodness sakes. I'll be fine. And I'm sure they probably discussed the strategy. Okay, you just go in there and try to rattle him. The guy cannot hang with you. But didn't we all expect just a knockout punch in this debate? Pretty much election over type stuff. Finally, Joe Biden has crawled out of his basement, and Donald Trump's going to expose him to the world for being mentally challenged at this point. Didn't that what everybody expected? You didn't get it. Now, I bet you Donald Trump probably resisted calls to do real debate prep. When I come back, I'm going to show you somebody who did debate prep. They would have people come in and sit with them for a week. Now, look, I'm saying this for political purposes. I don't like debates. I don't like speeches. They tell you nothing. They lie to you. They misrepresent facts. Written by professional speech writers and spin groups and opinions formed by focus groups. I don't care about any of this stuff. But if you want to see your guy win, then I guess they've got to play that game. I'll show you someone who played that game so much better. And Donald Trump will be well advised to start taking this tact when I come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, when I was younger, I did a lot of time in the restaurant business. I've talked a lot about that on the show. Make sure you're tipping your servers. If you have not worked in the restaurant business, you know, have no idea how hard that business is. Quit complaining. You're not the king or the queen of the place because you came in to spend $9.95 on an entree. Something goes wrong. It's called an accident. Get over it. Tip your waiters. I'm very sympathetic to restaurant people. Anyway. One of the things I was good at in restaurants was, in a couple of cases, I was purposely assigned to very bad restaurants when I worked for a national chain. And the first one that I went to, I was young, too. I was probably 22, 23 years old. And so I went into this restaurant down in Metairie, Louisiana, that was rated a 1 on a scale of 10. Now, probably nobody else wanted to go there, and I was single. They would ship us single guys around. I'd get a call, like, I'd go to work on a Friday night at a restaurant, and they'd go, hey, you're getting transferred. I'd go, oh, really? When? Where? And they'd tell me, yeah, you need to be in this other city on Monday morning. You're single. You don't have any kids. So I got shipped around a lot. But I got shipped to this restaurant down in Metairie, Louisiana. It was a 1 on a scale of 10. And I walked in with different eyes than had been in there for years as this restaurant had been just slowly declining. To the fact where it was dirty, it was unkept, it was outdated, it was just, everything was just going downhill, and that's why it had a 1 rating and the profitability was bad. It wasn't because I was a genius, it was because I had fresh eyes, and I walked in, and I wasn't somebody who had just gotten used to it and said, what is going on here? I'll never forget. I found like an air freshener, one of those little pop-up things they used to have. It was sitting on top of like a railing, right out in the open. It just looked trashy. And people had been walking past it for years. I said, what the hell is this doing? You know what I mean? So my point is just being fresh eyes. And I think that gives me some political advantage when I can critique the Trump campaign, which I've been saying for 3 years, his tone is not working. It's not working. You may love it. You may love to hear him insult Barbara Streisand and Rachel Maddow or Joe Biden. It's just not working. If your goal is for Trump to have 4 more years, and he may win. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to lose. But if you want him to be popular and get things done, then he's got to change his tax. And one of the things is not only just doing new things. One of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected, he did what I did with that restaurant. He came in and did some new stuff. Everybody was sick of the establishment. We realized it wasn't serving us. And Donald Trump said, well, why do y'all keep saying and doing the same things? I'm going to go out there and call out the bogus economic numbers. I'm going to go out there and call out these endless wars. And it worked. The problem is, just like the debates last night, he doesn't know how to change tax for different situations. And this is a problem. Again, you can worship him. You can love him. You can say he's got no faults. He's the greatest president that's ever occupied the Oval Office. I wholeheartedly disagree with you, although it's pretty hard to point to any that are really great outside of the Founding Fathers. But you can either fall in love and let him keep making the same mistakes, or you can critique it and just say, hey, I want him to be successful, so he needs to make some changes. One person that was wildly successful against a hostile media and a hostile Congress was Ronald Reagan. Now, Reagan was not perfect. I was pretty in love with him when I was younger. I liked him a lot more before I understood that he kind of sold out his whole, you know, railing against big government. I mean, the government got big under Ronald Reagan. He surrounded himself with some bad people, just like Donald Trump has done. And his rhetoric about government being the problem was kind of the same that Donald Trump has good instincts now. He just doesn't execute them well. But Reagan was certainly better than your average bear when it came to this. And I believe conservatives still hold Ronald Reagan in some high esteem. Ronald Reagan, though, I will say this about the Reagan administration. Look, I grew up in the 80s. I think it was a fantastic time. Reagan really got kind of lucky in the time that he came into office. Number one, he was far enough away from the civil rights movement to where we had integrated and those hostilities had gone down. You know, the wounds were healing until we started picking at him again in the 90s and particularly in the 2000s to where now they're new festering wounds. But the wounds were healing in the 1980s, so things were kind of peaceful on the streets. People were doing okay. And also, Ronald Reagan came at a time that was an interesting time in American history because it was kind of like when you're a young person and you get a new credit card for the first time. Maybe you get a high-limit $5,000 credit card. See, we came off the gold standard in 1971. In the 70s, immediately, there were some problems. The dollar's value declined. We had some hyperinflation in the United States. You remember the gas lines. There were all kinds of problems, but we started to sort that out. And Ronald Reagan came in at a time where we had what was the beginning of a kind of a fake prosperity. We discovered how we could just, we can just borrow a ton of money and do whatever we want to. And that's Reagan came in at that time. Again, it's just like when the kid gets that first big credit card. Boy, those are some of the best vacations and road trips I ever took. when suddenly I had this piece of plastic in my wallet that allowed me to stay at nicer hotels and drink more beer. And I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have any money to pay for this stuff, but I had this new piece of plastic. That's essentially what the Reagan administration was to a degree, and anybody who came in office would have benefited from it. One other thing about Reagan that is very dramatically different from Donald Trump, besides his style, which I'm about to show you. When Ronald Reagan came in office, we were experiencing inflation. I mean, the dollar was declining. Now, the dollar's been declining here, too, relatively during the Trump administration. Donald Trump wants 0% interest rates. He's even said he wants negative interest rates because he wants to further goose the economy, inject more monetary heroin into the system. He wants to keep the Ponzi scheme going. He wants to keep blowing up the bubble. When Ronald Reagan came in office, he hired a Fed chair named Paul Volcker. And Paul Volcker was the Fed chair at the time. And this is how different things are now. Paul Volcker started raising interest rate. It hurt the economy. And Ronald Reagan knew that his economy, as a new president, was going to be hurt. But he didn't stand in the Fed chief's way. He said, we have to do this. For the long-term health of the United States, we can't let this inflation spiral out of control. We need to raise interest rates. And boy, did we have a deep recession. Volcker raised interest rates. And then he raised them again. And then he raised them again. And then he raised them again. And for anybody that was alive during the early 1980s, you know that you could get CDs out there for like 16% on your savings. At the same time, you were going to pay 19%, 21% for a home mortgage. So it hurt the housing market. But they had to do that painful thing to get us back on a sound course. Donald Trump has refused to do that. Instead, he has encouraged us to go in the exact opposite direction, the same way Barack Obama did. So there is that difference there. I do have a little bit of respect for Ronald Reagan that he was willing to take the pain of a deep recession at the infancy of his presidency in order to try to get the United States on a more sustainable path. We would be better off if the Federal Reserve didn't even exist, but at least back then they realized that they had to do things that might have made things a little bit more painful on the short term so they'd be better in the long term for our children or our grandchildren. Today, it is we are trying to get every little scrap we can right now and leave our children with nothing. That's the attitude of the Federal Reserve and the Obama and Trump administrations. But when it comes to debating, now I know Trump's not capable of this, but some degree of this, because it was so successful, again, for any of you who weren't alive or hadn't paid attention to it, Ronald Reagan won 49 out of 50 states running against Mondale. Mondale was an uninspiring candidate, just like Joe Biden. Mondale was an establishment candidate, just like Joe Biden. Walter Mondale won one state, and that was his home state. And outside of that, the other 49 went to Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan was in office, the media hated him. They called him a doddering old fool, a warmonger. You're going to have this geriatric with his hand on the nuclear button. He's going to kill us all. You have to have lived through the times to understand. I actually played, I think I've talked about this before too, I played at a rock concert called Rock Against Reagan. Look, I would have played for anything. I mean, I would have played for Hell's Angels. I didn't care. I was a kid with a guitar, and I wanted to stand up in front of a bunch of girls and show off. I would have played for anybody. So Rock Against Reagan came through town, and we got to play out at Riverside Park. Big trailer, giant speakers, outdoors, you know, an outdoor concert in front of a bunch of people. Probably biggest crowd I ever played in front of. My dad was not thrilled that I was playing a concert called Rock Against Reagan, but my dad, because he wasn't a nut job like we have these days, he walked out there with the crowd. He didn't start anything. He didn't wear a T-shirt saying Reagan. He came out to support his son, had some fun, talked to people, and we just had a nice day of it, went on. But there was a thing going around. This was a big thing. They would go from town to town, Rock Against Reagan. This was in 1984. The media, everybody hated Reagan. You know who didn't hate Reagan, even though the media did, even though the Democrats did, even though the talking heads on the mainstream media had, you know, they weren't fair to him on the media? Do you know who did like Ronald Reagan? The people. Because Ronald Reagan finessed the media. And he did stuff like this when he did a debate.
Mr. President, I want to raise an issue that I think has been lurking out there for 2 or 3 weeks and cast it specifically in national security terms. You already are the oldest president in history, and some of your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall...
So you hear that? This is the media. This is the moderator saying, look, you're old. Rumor has it you were even tired after the last time you did a debate. You couldn't handle it. What do you have to say about that? Now, what do you think Donald Trump's... I'm stronger than him at any time. I'll do push-ups right now. You can imagine what Trump's response to that would be. Here's Ronald Reagan's.
All yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all, Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Walter Mondale at the other podium is laughing. The moderator is laughing.
Still have time, I might add, Mr. Truitt, I might add that it was Seneca or it was Cicero, I don't know which, that said, if it was not for the elders correcting the mistakes of the young, there would be no state. We were succeeding.
And that, you know what that is? Because I've heard tales of this. David Stockman has talked about it before. David Stockman, still out there, is a great commentator calling out the BS economic numbers that we see right now. David Stockman was the chief of office and management and budget under Reagan. And David Stockman said Ronald Reagan essentially would go into a week leading up to a debate and come out the other side a completely new human being, in command of all of the facts and all of the figures and ready to go, that they prepped him. And that's the president that Ronald Reagan was. So that's a debate where he makes his opponent laugh. He makes the moderator laugh. He says something kind of lighthearted when they're calling him a doddering old fool that may risk our national security rather than blowing up. And he won 49 states. Now, I know I've repeated this to some degree, but it's pretty fascinating for me to watch the end of that debate on Tuesday night, where I look at all conservative media and everyone says, oh, he knocked it out of the park. He steamrolled Joe Biden. Well, maybe I'm the wrong one. If Donald Trump turns into victory and he wins 49 states easily, handily, then I'll just come on here and say, well, I guess he got the people on his side. But I got to tell you, I've been watching now for almost 4 years. I see almost no evidence of that. And part of the reason that I see it, and this is the other thing that I find fascinating about these times, and again, I blame social media. People who love Trump can't believe that somebody wouldn't like Trump. Now, they know they're out there, but they think they're just left-wing nut jobs, because everybody that they associate with online, every news website they go to loves Donald Trump. They go to Breitbart. They go to Daily Caller. They go to Gateway Pundit. It's all Trump praise. You think there's this big, giant movement. The same thing for the Trump haters. You stay with all of your Trump haters, and you can't understand how any normal person out there would ever like Donald Trump. Well, I hate to tell you, some normal people outside of your little bubble like Donald Trump. But everybody's in their bubble and so sure of their opinion because it's so reinforced by their little bubble communities that they can't see past it. So all of the Trump lovers believe that Donald Trump knocked it out of the park, and everybody in America could see what a strong leader he was, and it was just absolutely amazing, and he just made a fool of Joe Biden. And all of the Joe Biden people, all the Democrats, there really aren't Joe Biden people, they're just anti-Trump people. All the Trump haters just look at that debate and said, well, he just showed exactly what an insane person he is. He's rude. He's garish. He's obnoxious. No, but that's what every American will see. And there's just a whole lot of people who interpret this stuff completely differently than either one of the big demented bubbles, as I refer to them now. Ronald Reagan saw that stuff, and he went right past it. He went right over their heads. He went through them. He went around them. He did whatever he did. He won 49 states. That's a style that Donald Trump's advisor should be encouraging him to try to use. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Again, if anyone's listening, you're getting a little fuzzy signal. We are doing some tower maintenance today, so you can tune in at 9:30 a.m. or 107.1 FM today anytime the signal goes a little wonky. I have been told that me shouting a little bit louder into the microphone is not effective, so I will not do that today. But anyway, you can find us in other places. We do have redundancies here. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the Proud Boys and stuff. Boy, they've been thrust into the limelight. They were apparently very excited about their mention from the Trump debate the other night. They were trying to be painted as a white supremacist group. I think Donald Trump... Now, Trump came out yesterday. Trump is odd about some of these things. You know, I don't trust Donald Trump. Well, I meant to issue a trigger alert before I said that. I don't trust any politician, and I don't fall in love with politicians, so you're always kind of leery of people that you're not in love with. You always know on your guard, and particularly when politicians lie. When Donald Trump came out and said, you know, he didn't really know much about WikiLeaks. This was like last year. As Julian Assange is slowly being starved to death or slow killed in a prison waiting extradition. Now, I don't know if that's some kind of a covert thing. I hear a lot of people say he's working with Assange behind the scenes to bust up the deep state. Well, the people closest to Julian Assange say he's dying right now. He's being slowly killed in custody. And Donald Trump comes to the podium and says, well, I don't really know much about WikiLeaks. How can you not know about WikiLeaks? He knew about WikiLeaks during the campaign because they helped him. Yesterday, he came out and he said, he doesn't know what the Proud Boys are. He doesn't really know who they are. He said, you'll have to describe them to me. I don't know who they are. Is this true? Has he been shielded from the fact that this group has been pretty pro-Trump and a pretty big movement in this, facing off against Antifa? He knows who Antifa is. I can't believe he hasn't been briefed on people that are opposing Antifa in someone in the Proud Boys. So is he just trying to downplay it so that he doesn't have to address the issue? I don't know. I don't trust what comes out of any politician's mouth, and Trump is included in that. For some reason, that's odd. That's odd now. I thought we were on to politicians a few years ago, but apparently Trump supposedly is an exception. Anyway, I looked up the Proud Boys just to kind of see, and I guess this is their website. It's ProudBoysUSA.com, and I was looking at their core values. And this is interesting. You know, I got to tell you, some of it's attractive. Now, look, I will never be a Proud Boy, but it's for one main reason, for sure. I don't know enough about them, number one. But number two, it looks to me like you have to be able to grow a nice, healthy beard. And I am incapable of growing an attractive beard. It's white, it's scraggly, it comes in, I don't know, I just can't do, so they probably wouldn't accept me. But anyway, here are their tenets, the core values of the Proud Boys. Many of them I really believe in, and this will be interesting too. I would imagine there's a whole lot of people out there right now on the Trump side of things who are supporters of the Proud Boys now, right? They are facing off with Antifa. There's a couple of their policy positions here that I think are interesting that I kind of like. Be interesting to see how people who might normally oppose me when I say something might listen to the Proud Boys when they say something. Here are the core values of the Proud Boys. Minimal government, yes. Maximum freedom. Anti-political correctness. And here comes the one that might be tough for some of you to swallow. This is the Proud Boys now. This is the number four on their core values of the Proud Boys. Anti-drug war. Huh. How about that? Well, I totally am in agreement with them on that. I guess people might take exception They are also for closed borders, anti-racial guilt, anti-racism, pro-free speech, First Amendment, pro-gun rights, Second Amendment, glorifying the entrepreneur, venerating the housewife, reinstating a spirit of Western chauvinism. Now, this is the thing, the kind of the trigger in their kind of in their sub-headline there. Proud Boys, they are Western chauvinists. Now, for most people, the word chauvinist immediately says, oh, they hate women because people are stupid. And they can't, there's no nuance in this country anymore. People just can't think for themselves, can't parse through facts. What they mean by Western chauvinist is they believe that Western society has taken an advanced culture and quality of life, standard of living, has been a big influence on improvements to the way human beings inhabit planet Earth. That's why they say they are Western chauvinists. Now, I believe their leader is a POC, which is interesting for a white supremacist group, POC being person of color. I find it fascinating that as human beings, you know, we get so micromanaged in what's allowable and what's not allowable when it comes to our language. It's kind of funny to me that Democrats, even liberals, will say person of color. But if you say colored person, that is horrible. And I don't say that. It feels bad to me, too, because it's something that they used prior to the civil rights movement. I don't ever use the word colored person. I'll use black community, white community, whatever. But I don't say. But people of color is really very, very close to saying colored person. Anyway, the guy running Proud Boys, I believe, is a person of color. Here is just a little kind of a mission statement type thing that the Proud Boys say. Though these are our current central tenets, again, that's the list I just read to you. All that is required to become a Proud Boy is that a man declare he is, quote, a Western chauvinist who refuses to apologize for creating the modern world. We do not discriminate based upon race or sexual orientation, preference. We are not an ism, ist, or phobic that fits the left's narrative. We truly believe that the West is the best and welcome those who believe the same tenets as us. So that's kind of who they are. Now, are there parts of this movement that are bad? There are. You know, Gavin Newsom, I believe, started the Proud Boys. He had put out a segment. I'm trying to be very objective here. He put out a segment. Something says 10 things I hate about the Jews or something along that. I may be paraphrasing, but that may be spot on. So they've done some things that are questionable. They're also big fans of Roger Stone, which I don't quite get. Roger Stone, even to Trump supporters, you know, Roger Stone's certainly been very loyal to Donald Trump. Roger Stone is about as political an animal as you can get, somebody that is just really excited about the raw use of power. And the only way that governments and politicians get the power that Roger Stone wants to see them have is they have to take it from the people. I'm not a big Roger Stone fan. He's known as a political dirty trickster. I don't like politics or politicians, so Roger Stone doesn't get my stamp of approval just because he's not some radical leftist. Roger Stone, to me, is a swamp creature. He's been a D.C. swamp creature for a while. He's supported some people that I support, too. He's probably got some conservative. He identifies as a bit as a libertarian, too, but he's a little creepy to me. But anyway, Proud Boys are a big fan of him. Anyway, it's just very interesting to actually go to their website and see what they say. And if you take that website at face value, they are certainly not the epitome of white supremacists, particularly if they are run by a person of color. They say they are anti-racism, but also anti-racial guilt. Those things are not mutually exclusive at all. And their tenets certainly are a lot of things that I would line up with, too. If you know more about Proud Boys than I do, please share. But to try to just label these groups, now there was another good piece of news out yesterday, which I absolutely love, Kyle Rittenhouse. This is the young kid who got knocked to the ground and defended himself and shot people in the Kenosha, Wisconsin riots when they were chasing him down the street and attacking him. To many people, he is a hero. He defended himself. He did not start anything. He defended himself and has been arrested and will be tried for that. Joe Biden put out an ad denouncing white supremacy with a picture of Kyle Rittenhouse by himself, not even in a group. It is a close-up picture of Kyle Rittenhouse with his gun, and they label it as, or they infer that this is the face of white supremacy. Kyle Rittenhouse's attorneys, who I love because, you know, I think they were defending him pro bono. If they had to, A lot of people donated to Kyle Rittenhouse Defense Fund. At last I saw, it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But they were doing this pro bono because they saw what a travesty was that he was arrested, because obviously he was defending himself. But his attorneys are not having it with Joe Biden putting Kyle Rittenhouse's picture under something claiming that he is a white supremacist. And they have said they will see Joe Biden in court. They are suing Joe Biden personally, I believe, certainly the Joe Biden campaign, for doing essentially to Kyle Rittenhouse what the mainstream media did to Nick Sanford when he was wearing the MAGA hat with the Indian, and they declared him some kind of a white supremacist because all he did was stand still and smile. And the media portrayed him as some kind of a racist MAGA troublemaker. And Nick Sandman did quite well. I believe he won something like $250 million, didn't he? Something along those lines. Nick Sandman is a very, very wealthy young man. Anyway, Kyle Rittenhouse is not putting up with it either. Those attorneys sounded very excited to be suing the Joe Biden campaign for trying to label him a white supremacist. Look, if you were on the left, you were being so duped by the mainstream media that it's almost laughable. And here's the thing about it, too. The media laughs at you. I hate to tell you. Look, I'm equal opportunity here. The Republican Party has been laughing at establishment Republicans for a while, too. I mean, just look at the people they've told you to vote for. Mitt Romney, John McCain, the last two election cycles before Donald Trump. They've been laughing at you. The mainstream establishment Republicans and the Republican Party has been manipulating conservative voters, not giving you anything you wanted. You haven't gotten a repeal of Obamacare. You haven't outlawed Roe v. Wade. They've been manipulating the right. But for you on the left, don't get cocky. That mainstream media knows how to play you like a fiddle. They've got you losing your ever-loving mind and sacrificing your health, safety, and freedom out in the streets like a bunch of nut jobs, and they laugh at you. The people at these networks, when they pander these lies to you and try to get you excited about Proud Boys as a racist organization, they are laughing that you're that easy to manipulate. This is the great theme of this story. If everybody would wake up and see the manipulation and see the fact that all of these people in power are laughing at you. Most people in this country are so easy to play, so easy to trick. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today. I'm going to go back to a Reagan thing again. Because even on foreign policy, Reagan was very effective on foreign policy. Not perfect. He had H.W. Bush under him, surrounded himself with some swamp creatures like H.W. Bush that was running the CIA drug operation and covert stuff around the world. But Ronald Reagan faced off with the Soviet Union without a shot fired. A lot of arms built up, stuff like that, but at least he didn't fire anything. But you know, right now we have presidents who draw red lines and they threaten everybody. And Donald Trump says, if you do anything to us, we'll do things 10,000 times bigger than you. You'll regret the day. You'll rue the day. This was Ronald Reagan talking about the Soviet Union that I think is, man, I wish we would return to this level. He's able to spear and poke the Russian system, discredit it without being just an absolute bully. And at the same time, maintaining a huge military, a very strong, very capable military that the world knew they didn't want to mess with.
I'm supposed to quit right here. But, oh, yes. But in view of the fast things that I just said, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I have a new hobby. I am collecting stories that I can actually prove are told among the Russian people. They make them up themselves. They tell them between themselves. Reveals they got a great sense of humor.
He compliments
and they've
the
also
Russian
got
people.
A little cynical attitude about things in their country.
Criticizes the government.
And one of these stories, the one I'm going to tell you, I told to General Secretary Gorbachev, and he laughed. The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries, and the American said, look, In my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
I'm telling you, that's a winning style. And it would be so welcome these days. We live in such anger. I think that's one of Donald Trump's biggest. It may be one of the reasons I'm particularly hard on him. I think at this point, Donald Trump has got a responsibility to start being calm and try to calm down situation. Because what Reagan proves in those things, and again, Reagan's not perfect, but what he proves in those things is that you can make a point, you can be a strong leader without being aggressively nasty towards everybody who disagrees with you. And that allows people, it sets people up to accept you to a degree because it doesn't put them automatically on complete defense for everything. Constantly screaming at somebody that they're a libtard or a Trumptard or whatever you call somebody else, all that does is dig them in deeper. And if I don't want much out of a president, I want him out of our lives. But I would like him to set a tone in the country of some calm. Even though the radical left is going to be the radical left. Every time in history has had groups of malcontents within society. You can't stop them all. But there should be a tone of calmness and civility. And I'm not talking about acting presidential. I'm talking about being genuine. Those are really diametrically opposed. Most presidents lie to you. And the problem is that I think with inside Donald Trump, his instincts and the core of who he is, when he smiles, when he's self-effacing, he shows this side of his personality every now and then, I think he would be wildly successful doing that. I have no hopes he will. I just think it's a huge missed opportunity. That's all I have to say about that for today. That's all the time I've got for today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.